Well, good morning again. I'm so glad you chose to join us this Sunday for worship and to hear God's Word. Our digital bulletin can be found at faithlife.com/Dunkirk Baptist, and that digital bulletin has all of the scripture. It has the notes from PowerPoint from the sermon, and it also has all of our announcements for the week. You can find it again at faithlife.com/Dunkirk Baptist. Our current message series is from the New Testament book of 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter was writing to the early church, who, like today, was experiencing all kinds of problems. They were persecuted, they were divided, there were issues in their cities, there were issues with their government. So Peter wrote a message of hope. He wrote about God's love, about God's mercy, His grace, the need for us to submit to God. All of these messages to that early church apply to us today. If you missed any of the earlier sermons from this series, you can find them on our website, dunkirkbaptist.org, or you can find them on the Facebook page or our YouTube channel. Last week we wrapped up chapter 2, and we saw Jesus Christ as our perfect example of how we should trust God in trials, how we should submit to His will and know that He is in charge. Today, as we begin chapter 3, Peter continues his instruction about submitting to authority in all areas of our lives. And today it's specifically about how husbands and wives should treat each other in marriage, how they should show each other grace as an example of His love. Because we all fiercely want to be independent. We want to be in control of our own lives. We want to be completely in control as much as we can. And we realize that that's not possible. It's really hard to talk about submitting to other people. And through these last couple of messages, Peter has addressed those issues, our need to submit. So let's pray and ask God for humble hearts. Let's ask for teachable spirits this morning. Won't you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your amazing love for us. Thank You for the grace that You show us. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord, as we listen to Your word this morning, I pray that You would humble us before You, that we would recognize our need to submit to Your authority, to Your word, to be ready to obey it in every area of our lives. And Lord, I pray that You'd give us teachable spirits, that as we hear Your word, we would apply it, and that we would live differently because of what we've heard today. I thank You for all these things in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Peter starts out this chapter by saying, likewise. That lets us know that it's a continuation of the previous thought. In chapter 2, as Peter talked about submitting, he said we needed to submit to human government, to submit to human bosses, even bad bosses, even governments that are not biblical, that don't follow God's way. And he showed us the example of submission of our Lord Jesus Christ, who obeyed his Father, even when that meant dying on the cross. when he was completely innocent. Verse 23 of chapter 2 says, he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus Christ completely trusted God the Father, who is sovereign, which means he's in control of all things. And it says he is just, meaning he will right every wrong. That's an eventual righting every wrong. Some of those things are going to come many years from now. Some of them may happen in eternity. But we need to trust God. We're called to obey him and to obey the authorities that he's placed in our lives. We have to read this chapter in context. In the first century, in the Roman Empire, women were usually treated with very little respect. They were expected to serve and to obey not only their husbands when they were married, but to serve and obey their fathers, those positions of authority in their lives. If a woman became a Christian in this first century, without her husband believing, if she started to trust God and start obeying his word, there could be quite a problem in the household. This is the reason that I believe that a Christian should really only marry another Christian. When I counsel people who want to be married, I explain that 2 Corinthians 6:14, the command to not be unequally yoked or joined together with someone, it's talking about someone who doesn't hold a biblical worldview. And so whether that's in business, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in your closest friendships, to be yoked, to be connected, to be going in the same direction with someone who doesn't believe that God is sovereign, who doesn't believe that God is in control of everything, who doesn't believe that we should submit to God in everything, that's just going to cause so many difficulties in those areas of your life. As you heard me read these verses, the first six were talking to wives. It's a lot more time, a lot more information specifically to wives, because submitting to an unbelieving husband would be a much bigger deal. But he also addresses husbands in the end, and that is just as important for a God-honoring marriage. Another thing we need to recognize as a baseline is that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 13, said that when a believer has an unbelieving spouse, he or she should maintain the unity of marriage and not seek a divorce. He doesn't say that you should change your marriage vows just because one of you has become saved. So those are important for us to recognize, that God expects you to honor him, to glorify him in everything that you do. Well, let's take a look first at wives. What does God's word have to say? Wives, be subject to your own husbands. To be subject means to submit, to obey, because they are in authority. All the way back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, we see God created marriage with husband as the head of the household and with his wife submitting or obeying her. But when Adam and Eve decided to ignore God's direction, when they decided to ignore his authority in their lives, they disobeyed him, they sinned. Part of that curse in Genesis 3:16 for the woman was that your desire shall be to rule over your husband, to be in charge. But in fact, he is the one in charge. This verse says, again, back to 1 Peter chapter 3, be subject to your husband so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word. The word that he's talking about is the word of God. So if you have a husband that doesn't believe God's word, he doesn't obey it, he may be won to Christ without you speaking a word, just by your actions, by being respectful, and by pure conduct. Actions speak so much louder than words. So rather than complaining about the way he acts, complaining about his ungodly viewpoint in things, you just continue to show God's love. You continue to show grace and mercy. And by without even speaking a word, he may be won to Christ by seeing your spirit, by seeing how you submit to God and you submit to him. This verse also says, be subject to your own husbands. So we know that women are not under the authority of every man. It's just under the authority of her husband. He goes on in verse 3 to say, don't let your adorning be external. Adorning is the way you present yourself, the way you dress up. Don't focus on outward appearances. And he gives examples. He says, things like your hair or your jewelry or your clothing. And of course, this doesn't mean that you ignore the way you look. There's no reason for us to say that we should avoid jewelry, we should avoid nice clothes, we should avoid makeup or just any of the things that we can do to make ourselves look better. But what he's saying is, don't focus on those externals. Instead, focus on your heart. Focus on being beautiful on the inside. And verse 4 tells us that the adorning of the hidden person of the heart is an imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Being gentle means to be caring, to be compassionate, to be loving and kind, to be quiet, listening to other people instead of always speaking your mind, instead of always putting in your two cents. That's a problem for men and women. But God calls us to be quiet, to not only listen to others, showing how much we care about them, but also that we listen to God, that we have quiet spirits that are ready to hear his word and to apply it. Proverbs 31:30, which we read on Mother's Day. I think Jake Davis read that for us. In the New King James Version, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We know that our external looks, including our strength, whether it's men or women, the way we look is going to change over the years. And that beauty, that outward appearance will change. We go from whatever our prime is to getting wrinkly and grayer and getting more tired. And God says, don't let that be the focus of your life. Focus instead on inward beauty, because that will never perish. That will never go away. Ladies, do you spend as much time on your spiritual walk with the Lord? Do you spend as much time thinking about your spirit and becoming more like Jesus Christ than you do on how you look on the outside, your makeup, your clothes, your jewelry? Are you as passionate about becoming like Jesus Christ as you are in maybe trying to outdo your friends on Instagram or Facebook, having those photo perfect pictures? Verse 5, again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, gives us the example of the holy women of old who hoped in God. They used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham. The women of old hoped in God. That's where they found their hope. And so as a result of that, they knew that they could obey their husbands, that they could submit to the leadership in their relationship and in their family. Peter calls us to follow that example, ladies, to follow the example of Sarah. Did Abraham make some mistakes along the way? He sure did. But Sarah continued to follow his example, follow his leadership. And then he ends with verse 2 by saying, do good and don't be afraid. These verses, as I looked them up, talked about like terror or like absolute abject fear, like when something horrendous comes upon you, a storm or maybe some unforeseen crisis. Don't worry about those kind of things. Don't be afraid of who knows what. Don't worry about things that you can't control. Trust God and trust the relationship that he gave you. You might be worried about your unsaved husbands and the decisions he's making, or maybe even just a Christian husband who is not always listening to God. When you're submitting to your husband, when you're obeying him and his leadership in your family, you're ultimately submitting to God. Just like Jesus trusted God, our just judge, you can trust God and you can obey him completely. Some people have described submission as like an umbrella. God's sovereignty over all of our lives, over everything in our life. It covers all the things that God controls. God gave you this particular husband if you're married, and he wants you to follow, to submit to him, to trust God to enable you to love your husband. If God has given you children, he's given you these specific children, and you don't give up on them because they have sinful problems, just like we do. You don't say, well, I've had it. I'm through. I no longer feel the same way about you. And somehow our modern culture has said that's okay when it comes to a spouse. That's okay to give up on them, but you're never going to give up on your children. Well, God tells us that he loves us unconditionally, just like a father loves his children. That's the way God wants us to love each other, not only in marriage, but in the church, in our friendship, in all of our relationships. Love unconditionally, regardless of how your spouse may act. What I'm saying, bottom line, is you can't control any of the people in your life. You can encourage them, you can instruct them, you can give them guidance, but God ultimately calls us to respond to them with love, grace, mercy, just like he shows you every day. Ladies, you may not always agree with all of your husband's ideas. In fact, some of your ideas may be much better, but are you willing to submit and still let him lead? Are you willing to let him make some mistakes? If you continue to jump in and lead and make all the decisions, your husband will not develop into the leader that God called him to be. Many of our churches are struggling today to find men who are not only qualified but willing to lead. And I think a lot of that comes from what's happened in this last couple of generations, where men are perhaps busy leading at work, but then they come home and they just give up and say, I'm just going to let you be in charge of everything. I don't want to think about anything at home. That's not what God has called men to do. Encourage your husband to be the leader that God has called him to be, and recognize the things that he's doing well so that he'll continue to lead, to continue to take on those responsibilities. Well, that's enough to the wives this morning. Let's talk a little bit about husbands, and it's all just in one verse. Likewise, remembering again this idea of submitting to God's authority in our lives, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. Live with your wife. To live with her means to love her, to dwell with her in intimacy. It refers back again to the union of a man and woman being one before God, just as God ordained in Genesis chapter 2. Earlier, Tim Davis read Ephesians chapter 5 for us, and that passage has such great instructions for a husband and wife as their relationship together. A husband is commanded to selflessly love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, love your wives as your own body. This passage, which I've used so many times in sharing with people, not only in counseling, but in the wedding ceremony itself, it shows us that marriage is a picture of God's love for people. And when we do it right, when we follow God's example of the way a marriage should look, we show our families, we show our neighbors, we show the world around us what God's love looks like, submitting to authority and enjoying unconditional love. That's what a marriage is supposed to look like. This sacrificial love that husbands are called for means putting his spouse ahead of himself. When it comes to family budget time, is it always the new truck or the new gear that's on the top of the list? When you're thinking about a vacation, men, is it where you want to be, whether it's golfing or kayaking or whatever you want to do? Or do you think about your wife? Do you think about your family? Are you willing to sacrifice those things because of your love for them? Peter goes on to say, husbands, you should live with your wives in an understanding way. Know your wife. Be sensitive to her spiritual, her emotional, her physical needs. Take time to get to know her family and where she fits into the family. Understanding how her past, how the way she grew up, has shaped her thinking and her ideas. When Cindy and I dated, we used to spend hours and hours talking about all of these things. We had all of that time to kind of bring each other up to speed on who we were, what we believed in, what we thought about. And then you get married. And after a few years, you start getting lazy. You stop talking as deeply as you used to. This isn't Father's Day, but guys, keep dating your wife. Take her out, even if it's in this distance situation we're in right now. Maybe it's takeout, and like Brian Gustafson did, he drove down to the lake with takeout, and he had a date with his wife there at the lake. It's important not only for your wife to know how important she is in your life, but for your kids to see that your relationship is really the foundation of the family. In Colossians 3:19, Paul said, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Some people get the idea that Scripture teaches that men are the king of the castle and that they should just be in charge and tell everybody what to do. But even back to the Old Testament, where we see the beautiful picture of love in Ecclesiastes and in Song of Solomon, it's a gentle love. It's a caring love. It's not about telling your wife what to do. She submits to your leadership in the family, but you're called to love her above yourself. And that should make the family run so much smoother when you're not telling everybody that you want things to go your way. Peter goes on to say, show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Men, you should be chivalrous. You may be wondering why this has been sitting in the side of the picture all this time, but I have always loved the Middle Ages, and the kids at school have seen me wear this a number of times. But the idea of being a knight, being chivalrous, being gallant, putting your wife in a position like a princess, opening doors for her, caring for her, doing the jobs around the house that she doesn't want to do. Do the heavy lifting. Maybe your wife enjoys mowing the lawn, and that's totally fine. But you shouldn't be the guy who comes home and plops on the couch and expects everybody to wait on you. Be like a knight who wins the love of a princess. Treat her like royalty. Protect her. Honor her. Guys, if you have a daughter, she's watching how you treat your wife. Continue to honor her because she is precious, she is valuable. Your daughter will most likely judge other men and choose a man based on the way you've treated your wife, based on that standard that you've set before her. So that is so important, the way you honor and care for your wife. When it talks about a weaker vessel, there are certainly a lot of strong women, but for the most part, men are physiologically stronger. even though women seem to handle sickness and health a lot, sickness and pain a lot better than guys do, we should still be willing to do all of the heavy lifting. We're also called to be providers. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "Anyone who does not provide for his relatives and especially for his own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." I know there are economic situations where it may make sense for a husband to stay home while mom is out earning a better living. But God has called you, husbands, called you men to be the providers, to be the ones that care for your family. And I think that's important to be the goal. And then finally, Peter says, "They are heirs with you. Your wife is an heir with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." When you stand before God, you are equal. Spiritually, we are exactly the same. We are one in Jesus Christ, even though God has given the husband this position of leadership and authority in the family. In Galatians 3:28, the Apostle Paul said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor is there slave or free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." When we stand before God as our judge, there's no higher position for men versus women. We are equal before God. And He wants us to remember that, the way we treat our wives. Treat them as an equal. He says, "You will experience the grace of life. A married life that follows God's standards brings great joy. Grace is a gift from God." And God says through Peter, "Your prayers will not be hindered." This is a warning to men that if you're not loving your wife, if you're not providing for your wife, if you're not honoring her, then God may be deaf to your prayers. He may not be listening to your requests because you're not treating your wife the way He wants you to. The Ephesians 5 passage tells us that as we submit to Christ and our wives submit to us, that's the levels of that authority. And ultimately, men, you will answer to God for your wife and for your family. Are you ready to stand before God and say, "I've treated them justly, I've treated them equally, I've cared for them, I have loved my wife more than I've loved myself"? That's the standard God has called you to. Be a leader in your family. So as we wrap up this morning, I just have a couple of closing questions for you to consider, husbands and wives. Do you see yourselves as partners or competitors? Are you helping each other become more spiritual, become more like Jesus Christ? Are your conversations in your home about what you've been learning from God's Word? Do you encourage your husband? Do you encourage your wife to spend time with God? Are you focusing on the inside or on the outside? There's a lot of people who love to be healthy, and maybe husbands and wives go out and exercise together or go to the gym together. But has that become the focus of your life, the way you look, the way your spouse looks? Or are you more concerned about their heart, the way they're developing to be more like Jesus Christ? Are you sensitive? Are you caring about each other's feelings and ideas? Are you showing each other God's grace? Do you see your marriage as richer because, wives, you're submitting to your husband as you're supposed to, and husbands, you're loving your wife as God has called you to? That will bring you grace, peace, and a joyful marriage. Real hope is found only in Jesus Christ. Real hope in people changing is because they've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, through salvation. If you or your spouse are not a believer, basing your relationship on living to be more like Jesus Christ is going to make a huge difference in your marriage. You can't change your husband, you can't change your wife, but you can obey God and fulfill your half of the marriage. You can do everything God has called you to do. And when your husband or your wife see your love in action, when they see your grace, when they see your mercy, they will be drawn by the Spirit, and they may be won without a single word. I would encourage you, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, take that step of faith today. It's not only going to make a difference in your marriage, it's going to make a difference in your life as you submit to God, as you take those steps in obeying Him, because He not only loves you, but He knows exactly what's best, what's right for you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for these instructions from Your Word. Thank You for setting up marriage as an institution, just like government, just like work. It's another place that we learn that we are not the center of the universe. We learn that we need to submit to the authorities in our lives. I pray, Lord, that even though these are countercultural, that You'd help us in our marriages to submit, to love, to show grace and mercy, to live our lives to please You. May our Father, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I pray. Amen. I'm so glad you joined us this morning for hope from God's Word, and I hope you can join us again next week as we continue in 1 Peter. We'll be looking at how we can find the good life. May God bless you and keep you.